begin. And I thank you all once again for joining us. Amir Hashem, we will continue next week. And I encourage all of you to stay on for Rabbi Leibowitz, who will be followed by Rabbi Feiner.
Okay, thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. It's nice to be back again to learn a little more Torah. Now that we've experienced Matan Torah, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, we've experienced Shavuos, so we come in with a renewed energy in our Limud HaTorah. But we're going to continue the same basic kinds of topics that we've been discussing up until now. We're continuing in topics relating to Hilchos Shabbos, but tonight I want to do a topic that is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch for where this topic is, it may not all be in Hilchos Shabbos, although it is most relevant to Hilchos Shabbos, and that is the topic of Chamar Medina. I remember once I was at someone's house for a Shabbos lunch, right after I became the rabbi of my shul, right after we started the shul, and they offered, would you like to make your own Kiddush? And I always say, no, thank you, I'm Biyotzi with you. I trust that you're saying brachos to the same God that I'm saying brachos to, Barav Amhadras Melech. I don't always give the whole spiel, I just usually say no, thank you. And the person said, well, would it change your mind if I told you that I'm going to be making Kiddush on schnapps? So would it change your mind? Because you might be makbid to make Kiddush dafka on wine. The person comes from a Hasidish background, and it's very widely accepted from his background that he makes Kiddush on schnapps. So he wanted to know if I was makbid. So maybe let's talk about that. Should I be? Meaning, is this something that one ought to be makbid about? Not to say Kiddush on schnapps? What about Havdalah? For some reason, it seems that the practice is that even people who are very careful to only say Kiddush on wine, when it comes to Havdalah, somehow all bets are off, and they'll say Havdalah on almost anything. I've seen Havdalah said on soda, I've seen Havdalah said on orange juice, I've seen Havdalah's been said on tea, on coffee, iced tea, I've seen Havdalah said on almost anything. Where does that come from, that people are so lenient when it comes to Havdalah? So the basis for the entire sugya, for the entire notion of Chamar Medina, is a Gemara in the 10th parak of Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara tells us that Amalei Mar Yenuka Mar Kshisha Be'edrav Chis of the Rav Ashi, that Mar Yenuka Mar Kshisha said to Rav Ashi, Zimna Chada Ikla Amemar La'asrin, one time Amemar came to our town, V'lo Havalon Chamra, and we didn't have any wine. So I seen Alei Shichra, we brought him beer, V'lo Avdil, but he would not say Havdalah on beer. Ubas Tavas, and he went to sleep hungry, because he wouldn't say Havdalah on beer. Lamachar Tarachna Vaisina Lechamra. The next day we went out of our way and we brought him wine. Va'avdil v'tayamidi. And then he finally said Havdalah and he ate something. I think one of these weeks I think we spoke about eating before Havdalah. I'm not sure if we did or didn't. But the same Gemara is the relevant Gemara for eating before Havdalah. So then the Gemara says, Lashana, the next year, Suikla La'asrin, same fellow, came to visit the town again. And lo havalan chamra, again, they didn't have any wine. So I seen a shichra, they brought him beer. Amar, he said, ihachi chamar medinahu. Wow, if 2 years in a row I come to town and they don't have any wine, it must be that beer is chamar medina, avdil v'tayim midi. And therefore he said Havdalah, and he was willing to settle for beer for Havdalah. All you see from the Gemara is that you're allowed to say Havdalah on beer when you can identify beer as the Chamar Medina of that particular location. What you do not see from the Gemara is, can you say Kiddush on Chamar Medina? You do not see what the definition of Chamar Medina is. All you see is that when you know that you can identify beer as a Chamar Medina, you're then allowed to say Havdalah on Chamar Medina. But then the Gemara goes on a little bit further, and it seems to give us a little bit more information. Can you say Kiddush on beer? Amar hashto mar presumati ini vaasni. The boy mina mirav rabbi vlo pashal day shichra mi bayi. So there were several drinks that we asked about and we couldn't get a straight answer. So we're going to get an answer about beer. So sarmina kiddushi hu delom kachino nilove avil avdulim avdalinan. The Gemara said, oh, they initially thought that you cannot say Kiddush on beer, but you can say Havdalah. And then Rav Chista said, hachi amarav, kishem she'ein mekachin alav. Kach ein mavdilin alav, that the rules for Kiddush and Havdalah are the same. When you cannot say Kiddush on beer, you cannot say Havdalah either. And the Gemara again confirms in the name of Shmuel, Kishem she'ein mekadshin alav, kach ein mavdil milav. So what you see from that Gemara is that Kiddush and Avdala have the same rules, that you cannot say Kiddush and you cannot say Avdala on beer when it's not the Chamar Medina. But it's unclear from that Gemara if that's only when it's not the Chamar Medina, or maybe that passage just argues on the previous passage and holds even when it is the Chamar Medina. So what we're going to try to figure out tonight is, first of all, when is Chamar Medina even in play? When is it even a possibility to open up that you might be allowed to use something other than wine for Kiddush or Avdallah? Meaning, what are the circumstances that would allow for that? And then try to figure out what would categorize something as Chamar Medina. What would something have to be? What qualities would a drink need to have in order to qualify as Chamar Medina? Would coffee work? Would soda work? Would juice work? Would whiskey work? How do we determine what is Chamar Medina? If we get through both of those things, all within our half-hour slot, we could then discuss what about Havdalah and Chamar Medina, and then, time permitting, what about Kiddush on Chamar Medina. But let's get to the basics first. So it seems that most of the Rishonim assume that Chamar Medina is only even a possibility if there's no wine. But the question is, what does it mean there is no wine? There's no wine where? How? You know, you could always find wine. Sometimes, you know, people define no wine as they finish the bottle of wine at lunch and they don't want to open up a new bottle of wine for Avdallah because they already finished the bottle of wine at lunch. Is that called that there's no wine because you're too lazy to open up another bottle, or you don't want to waste the $8.99 you spent on the bottle of wine because you know you're not going to drink it throughout the week and it's going to be a waste? You can see what kind of fine taste I have in wine. My assumption is about the price of wine, but is that considered that there's no wine? Or what if I have to go to a neighbor to get wine because I don't have any wine in my house? Is that considered that there's no wine? It seems that there are three shitos in Rishonim about this. The Rashbam in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis writes that Ein Yayin Acher Beir Hazos, that there's no wine in the entire city. And he says, water is certainly not Chamar Medina. When there's no wine in the entire city, then beer would qualify as Chamar Medina. Wow. So he says, we cannot even open up the possibility of Chamar Medina unless no wine is available throughout the city. The Ravya says similarly, Chamar Medina is only when wine is not Matsui. But he says, notice, we call it Chamar Medina, not Chamar Ha'ir, because the Ravya says, I'll go even a step further. It can't just be that there's no wine in the city. There can't even be wine in the entire Medina. That's why we call it Chamar Medina, not Chamar Ha'ir. That if there's any wine available in the entire Medina, then you're not allowed to think about beer or schnapps or anything else for making Kiddush. A second opinion is the Shita of the Rush. The Rush in the 10th paragraph of Pesachim quotes a Yesh Mefarshim that other beverages are called Chamar Medina only when wine doesn't grow within a one day's journey of the city. But the Achronim aren't sure what that means. Magen Avraham says that it means that you don't have wine, that even if you do have wine in the city, but you don't have any wineries within a one-day walk of the city, then beer could still be your Chamar Medina, which is unbelievable. That means you have wine in your refrigerator, your neighbor has wine, every liquor store in the neighborhood has wine, but there are no wineries within a one-day journey. You happen to not live in southern France or northern California or anywhere in Israel, and there are no wineries anywhere near you, and that's called that you don't have, that would be enough to qualify for Chamar Medina. However, the Elia Rabba understands the Rush differently. He understands that the Rush is saying a chumrah, that even if you don't have wine throughout the entire city, but there's wine within a one day's journey of the city, then the wine is still considered the Chamar Medina. You're not allowed to make Kiddush. You know, one is not allowed to recite Kiddush on any other drink. So it's a big machlokas, how to understand what the Rush means. The Rush says something about a one-day journey, but either it's a very big leniency, that as long as wine grapes grow within a day's journey, then it doesn't matter how much wine you have, you can still use Chamar Medina. Or no, it's a big chumrah that he's saying, that even if the city doesn't have any wine, but there's wine available within a one day's journey, then the wine is it would have to be used. You would not be allowed to use Chamar Medina. And then there's a third shita. And the third shita is the opinion of the Rambam in the 29th perek of Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rambam says that if there's wine in the city and in the surrounding areas, but most of the people drink beer, then beer is Chamar Medina. Meaning, the idea is not so much about availability as much as it is about popularity. Now, Yeraba thinks that this is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as well, because the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Ayin Resh Beis, Si'if Tes, writes, B'makom She'ein Yayin Matsui. Sounds like it's just not something that's popularly drunk. It's not something that is commonly found, even though it is physically available. But then the Rama adds, Im Yesh Yayin Bi'ir, Lo Yekadesh Alapas. Sounds like the Rama disagrees with the Rambam. He says, no, if there's wine in the city, then you absolutely cannot use a substitute. You're going to have to use wine. So it seems that the idea that we even entertain the possibility of Chamar Medina in our society is that we're assuming like the Rambam. We're assuming that Chamar Medina is a open for discussion, not only if there's no wine available, and not only if there's no wine within a day's journey, but even if wine is just not popularly used, wine is not typically drunk. And that is, in fact, what many of the poskim write. They quote this from Rav Elyashiv. Rav Nassan Gestetner writes this in his Tshuvas Lahoros Nassan. Rav Vosner writes in his Shevet Alevi, Chelek Gimel, Simen Chavav, that he was always bothered by the fact that people make Kiddush on Chamar Medina, even where there is wine available. So he says, maybe B'derech Evshar, one can suggest, based on what the Gemara says in a number of places, that when wine is was common, they used to drink wine regularly, and they would drink dafka wine. They wouldn't drink water, they wouldn't drink beer, they wouldn't drink anything. The Gemara just said recently in Dav Yomi that one of the Amoraim would only drink beer because he was poor, and because of that people in his household were very hairy, and they needed certain products in order to smoothen out their skin. But someone who drank wine, who was more refined, and we just learned about it. So there is some the implication is that if someone had wine, they always drank wine. And nowadays, it doesn't seem to be that way anymore. Even though wine has gained significant popularity in recent times, it's still not an everyday, every meal, every day kind of beverage for someone who doesn't have a drinking problem. Meaning, every meal, every day that the person is going to drink wine, that seems a bit much. And therefore, nowadays, says Rav Vosner, Hanir Laniastaiti Derek Limud Zchus. This is the Limud Zchus. This is how we can justify it. But he says, for Kiddush on Friday night, we're not comfortable with that. And that's why at Kiddush on Friday night, we dafka use products of grapes. Wine, grape juice. But Kiddush Shabbos Day, which is only Drabanan, Havdalah, we may have an opportunity to see tonight, might be different. So at least it's a limud chus for Kiddush Shabbos Day and for Havdalah to use something else. But we have to be extra machmir on Kiddush on Friday night and to use only wine. The Shulchan Aruch paskins lahalacha that if there's no wine available, yesh omrim shemekad shemal sheikha v'shar mashkin chutz min amayim, that some say you could say Kiddush and other drinks, but not water. And some say you can't. Ula harash. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, and according to the Rush, belaila lo yikadesh ala sheikhar ala lapas. No, that on Friday night you have a better option. On Friday night, don't go to beer, don't go to whiskey. Friday night, you have bread. And you could say Kaddish, you could say Kiddush al pas, you could say Kiddush on the challah. And in the morning, it's better to say Kiddush on the beer, and you'll say Shahakal before the bracha of Hamotzi. Why in the morning? You ever wonder about that? Why in the morning don't we say Kiddush al pas if you don't have wine? Only Friday, it's only Friday night thing that you say Kiddush al pas. So Shulchan Aruch explains. Because if the entirety of the Kiddush on Shabbos day is just the bracha. Whatever we add in, you know, in addition to that, the nice psukim that we add in before, those are just nice additions, but that's not really Kiddush. Kiddush is just the bracha. Kiddush or Rabbah on Shabbos day is just Baruch Pri HaGafen. So imagine if you were to say Kiddush on the bread, it would look like you're just skipping Kiddush, because you would just say Amotzi Lechem in Aretz, which you're going to say anyway, because you're going to eat challah. So it looks like you're skipping Kiddush entirely. Friday night, it doesn't look like you're skipping Kiddush, because Friday night there's actually a separate bracha just for Kiddush. And that's why the practice had become that if you don't have wine available Friday night, you say Kiddush on bread. Someone once was once sitting in the OU office with a number of my chaverim who, in better times, we would go to Rav Shechter on Fridays and watch him paskin the world's shilas on Friday mornings at the OU. And someone had emailed a shaila that there was a woman who was stuck in, I want to say, Omaha. I could be wrong, but perhaps, or maybe it was Idaho. A woman was stuck in Idaho for Shabbos. She was a physician, and she lives in Israel, but works in Idaho, and she was stuck there for Shabbos, and she was able to locate, by going to the supermarket. She wasn't supposed to be there for Shabbos. She hadn't planned for this. She was able to locate one little tiny, you know, like Shalach Manos thing of grape juice, and a bag of Zamek challah rolls. That makes it everywhere. You can find Zamek challah rolls even in Idaho. So she found a bag of Zamek challah rolls in the kosher section of the supermarket, you know, next to the matzah and the gefilte fish and Hanukkah candles or whatever they have in kosher sections of supermarkets in Idaho, and one little thing of grape juice. And it was enough for one cup. And she wanted to know, when should she use that grape juice? Friday night, Shabbos day, Havdalah. Right? What do you do? So this is where you have to like balance all of these halachos. When is it okay to say Kiddush on the challah instead? When can you substitute beer? There's plenty of beer in Idaho, right? When can you substitute beer instead of wine? So all of these halachos become very, very relevant. I mean, that's, you know, something. She didn't have kosher wine in the entire city, Kol Svivo Seir, and there's no one making kosher wine around that city. So, but that's the halacha that on Friday night, where if one doesn't have wine, you say Kiddush on the challah, and on Shabbos day, you don't say Kiddush on the challah, you say Kiddush on Chamar Medina if you don't have wine. So now the question becomes, okay, what is Chamar Medina? What qualities must a beverage have in order for it to qualify as Chamar Medina? And over here we have what seems like six different shitos, six different opinions, and this is why it's so challenging to find something, to find a beverage that is l'kulei alma, that everyone would agree is Chamar Medina. The Rashbam writes that water is not Chamar Medina because it's not chashuv enough. So the Levush points out that since they only drink water when you're thirsty, and it's not something that satiates, that nourishes a person in a way that a normal drink would, it's not even called a mashke. It's like a nothing. It just goes right through your system, and therefore cannot be called Chamar Medina. Shulchan Aruch Rav says that therefore we see something has to have a little bit of chashivus. It has to be considered something substantial. They couldn't imagine, you know, mineral water is selling for like $4.99 a bottle in an airport or something like that. They couldn't imagine such a chashivus for water. Water is water, you know, what difference does it make? Now, my wife is very sensitive to the taste of different bottled waters. She could do a blindfold taste test of different bottled waters and tell you which one is the Poland Spring and which one is to me, it's all the same. I don't know. Water is water. But they assume water is water. It's not going to be any different. Water is not a chashver drink. It never will be a chashver drink. And therefore, in order for something to be Chamar Medina, it has to have some chashivas to it. It has to be something that you would that you would say it has some importance to it. A second possible definition, Shulchan Aruch Harav writes that only something that you would be koveya su'uda on is considered Chamar Medina. Something that typically goes together with a meal. The Aruch HaShulchan says similarly that since we don't drink beer today throughout our entire meal, beer is something you have when you go to a football game. I don't know, you shouldn't, but you know, that's what society does. Beer is something that you have at a Shalom Zachar or something, but it's not something that you do, that you drink on a regular basis. So it wouldn't be called Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina has to be something that's much more common, that you have b'kol su'uda. You have like with every meal. A third possible definition, the Magen Avraham writes that you cannot say Kiddush on Yayin Saruf, on schnapps, unless Rov Shtiyas Ha'amon hi Yayin Saruf b'chol yom, unless everyone drinks it all the time. So he holds that it needs to be something that most people drink it all the time, each and every day. Shulchan Aruch Rav says even a drink that's not shtias rov anshe'ir, but they drink it sometimes because it's chashuv, so that also is considered Chamar Medina, even if not everybody drinks it every day, but maybe as long as everybody drinks it once in a while. So it could be that that's also a definition, that it's got to be something that everybody drinks all the time. So lav dafka about su'uda, but at least something that people drink consistently, right? There are certainly places in this country where beer would fit into that category, but not the previous definition, right? The previous definition is you have it with a meal. So a lot of people don't have beer with meals. Oh, but drink it all the time? Yeah, they drink a beer all the time. After a long day at work, they sit down on the couch, turn on the TV or whatever, and have a beer. That was, I don't know, that's Archie Bunker, right? So that's, that's part of like their daily schedule. That's how they cool off and relax after a long day. Then there's a fourth shita. The Marsham in Das Torah quotes from the Halachas Ketanos that it has to be something that is intoxicating in order for it to be considered Chamar Medina. And therefore he says coffee can't work because it has to be an intoxicating beverage. Rav Sternbach writes in Tshuvas VaHanhagos Chelek Dalet Simnayin Zayin, he says, Yesh Omrim Shmua B'Shem Hagon De Brisk Zatzal, that they say a rumor in the name of Reb Chaim. I think he's referring to Reb Chaim, and not the Brisker Rav. Shetzorach Dafka Mashka HaMeshaker, that you need specifically something that intoxicates. And therefore, Bira Shechora, which is not Meshaker, like a root beer that doesn't intoxicate, is possible to use for Avdallah. And then Rav Sternbach says, but I don't buy it. I don't think it's true. Because the Gemara says that a person could be sochet in Eshkol Shalanav and Mumekadish Shalav. The Gemara says explicitly in Babasu, you could squeeze out a grape, squeeze out a cluster of grapes, make a cup of grape juice and drink it. And then you could say Kiddush on such a, it didn't have any time to ferment, it didn't turn into wine. In fact, when Rav Shechter got that Shaila from that woman who was stuck in Idaho, so we were trying to think, you know, what would be best, how to use this. So right away he said, tell her to just buy a bunch of grapes. And crush all the grapes, and she should make herself some grape juice. So, you know, sometimes you hear something from an Adam Gadol, and you're just like, where is he pulling this from? Like, it's such a strange comment to say. Where does he get that from? And then you realize afterwards, he's just saying over a Gemara, because the Gemara says that. The Gemara says, Sochir Adam, Eshkol Shalanavim, and then you drink from it. So he's just saying over what it says in the Gemara. But to an unlearned mind, it sounds so strange. Like, we were thinking, crushed grape. You know how many grapes you'd have to crush to make a cup of grape juice? Or should she, like, put it in the bathtub and step on it with her bare feet? Like, how Talmudic do we want to get in her, you know, in her production of the grape juice? But that's what he thought. He thought that do what the Gemara says. But it says Rav Sternbach, you see from there that you don't need something that's meshaker, that you don't need something that intoxicates. And Rav Sternbach says, they say that that the tradition of base brisk is that it needs to be a davar meshaker. He says, I don't know. My friend, my relative, Rav Sternbach says, I'm not sure how they're related, Rav Meshulam David Soloveitchik Shlita, said that when times were tough, his father would say to say Avdallah and tea or coffee. That would be the go-to drink if they didn't have wine available. So why would he say tea or coffee? Apparently the Brisker Rav held. Rav David Soloveitchik is a son of the Brisker Rav. I was just listening today. I wanted to hear Rabbi Lamb's voice today. Rabbi Norman Lamb passed away just, I believe it was last night that he passed away. So I wanted to, I wanted to hear him speak because I feel like we lost something very, very big. We lost a unique set of skills that Rabbi Lamb had. He was an orator and a darshan like nobody else, like nobody alive today, I don't think. So I was listening to his hesped for Rav Soloveitchik. Oh, what a remarkable, remarkable hesped that he gave. It's Kedai. It's online. You can find it on YU Torah. And one of he closed with the story of Rav David Soloveitchik. Rav David Soloveitchik is a son of the Brisker Rav. He was the first cousin of Rav Soloveitchik. And apparently, a number of years ago, an old, old man walked into Yeshiva's Brisk. It's Rav David Soloveitchik's Yeshiva's Brisk. And the old man sits down, opens up a Gemara, and starts learning. And then he asks, is this, I forgot which yeshiva he thought it was, but he asked for another name of a famous yeshiva, I don't know, Slabatka or something. And they said, no, this is Yeshiva's Brisk. And he said in Yiddish, he said, is Reb Chaim still alive? And the, you know, I mean, this was in the 1990 or so. So is Reb Chaim still alive? Reb Chaim is not still alive. It turns out, you know, after talking to this fellow, obviously he wasn't thinking, but this fellow, he was well into his 90s. He had learned by Reb Chaim in the early 1900s, And then he was stuck in communist Russia, and he was learning all by himself. He hadn't seen another Jew in 70 years. And then the opening of the Soviet Union, and he was able to get out, and he made his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he had been learning all these decades all by himself. And he walked into a yeshiva, and he opened up, and he says, Reb Chaim's still alive, and he's talking to Rav David Soloveitchik. And what's the answer of Rav David Soloveitchik? As long as there's Torah being learned, yes, Reb Chaim is still alive. Meaning, Reb Chaim, the person, is not still alive, but his Torah is still alive. So Rabbi Lam closed his hesped for the Rav by saying that as long as his Talmidim and Talmidei Talmidim are continuing to share his Torah, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, is still alive. He said it with such power, such eloquence, such force. But anyway, so Rav David Soloveitchik apparently told Rav Sturmbach that the Brisk Rav used to all the time, when they didn't have wine available, he would tell them to make Havdalah on tea or coffee. So apparently it doesn't need to be an intoxicating beverage. In fact, Rav Shechter writes in Mipnine HaRav that they quote from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that something cannot be called Chamar Medina unless it's a Midid Meshaker, unless it's intoxicating, and therefore you cannot say tea and coffee. But in the writings of the Rugachev Ragon, he brings a raya from a Gemara that even milk is called a midi de mishaker. Why? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Krisos that achal devela ki'ilis v'shasa dvash v'chalav. If a person drinks milk, v'nichnas l'migdash va'avad, a Kohen drinks milk and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he does avoda, chayiv! He's chayiv for going in, intoxicated, into the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, apparently it's called the Midi de Meshaker. So Rav Shechter writes that they told Rav Soloveitchik this idea of the Rugachever, Ma'od lo hayanicha le'mizeh. He really didn't like it. Usually when Rav Shechter writes something like that, it means there was some sort of very sharp line that Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Shechter didn't want to put in print. But Ma'od lo hayanicha le'mizeh. He really didn't like this idea. He said, nah, totally different issue. He says, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be anything that might ruin a person's focus. It's not only about something that makes a person intoxicated. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, even that which makes a person sleepy would be considered to be an intoxicating beverage and possibly avoda. And milk, as we know, makes a person very sleepy, makes a person very, very tired. But when it comes to something that's a drink of chashivos, so it's not just any effect it has on a human being. For a drink of chashivos, it has to be something that has to that perhaps has to be meshaker, like they say from Chaim Volozhiner. So that's another possibility that maybe midi de meshaker. Maybe you need something that's actually intoxicating. Rav Moshe, and it was Moshe, or Chaim Chelik Beis of Nine Hay, has a totally different hagdara. He says he was asked about soda, whether it has a dinner of Chamar Medina. And he said, absolutely not. Why would soda not have a dinner of Chamar Medina? He said, because no one is mechabed a guest with soda. Unless someone is hot and they need a cold drink, so then they get soda because it's addressing an issue that the person has, that the person's thirsty, that the person's hot. But what if you have a guest, doesn't look thirsty, doesn't look hot, you just want to be mechabed them? Do you ever say, ooh, let me bring out my soda glasses and I'll pour you a nice tumbler of soda? No, you have schnapps glasses, you have coffee mugs and tea cups and saucers. You have special, but soda you don't have. What are we holding up over there? I don't see. The soda, you never mechabed a person with a soda. So Rav Moshe says that soda would absolutely not be chamar medina. But you see, in his rejection of soda, you see his definition. His definition is that which you would serve to a guest, even if they're not thirsty. And then the Rama writes, V'nogu lahavdil b'motzoi Pesach al sheikhar v'lo al yayin mishum d'chaviv alav. The Rama writes that perhaps something can be called Chamar Medina when it is particularly beloved to you. And that's why Dafka Motzai Pesach, maybe you say Avdallah and beer because you haven't had it in so long. And right away, you know, you want to have Chametz. It's like there is this inyan of showing this, that you really do enjoy Chametz. To say the Gra, Maaser Rav, it says that the Gra would say Avdallah on beer on Motzai Pesach to show that the reason he stayed away from Chametz is not because he wasn't interested in Chametz, but because it was the Tzivoy Hashem. So it's dafka to show chavivus for the chametz on Motzei Pesach. So it could be that it's dafka that a person should choose something that is very chaviv alav. Now you have to go through, given all of these, all of this background, which is all we really did. Now you have to go through what would count as chamar medina. Sheicher, would beer count as chamar medina? According to most of the definitions, yes. And that's the example the Gemara gave. But this is the kind of thing that could be societal and could change. Would whiskey count as chamar medina? I don't know. If you hold that it's got to be a beverage that people drink every day and is the main part of the main beverage you have with the su'uda, ooh, probably not. But if it's just something that has to be expensive, something that's chashuv, something that you'd be mechabed in a reach with, then yes. Is coffee or tea a chamar medina? Maybe yes, but if you hold that it has to be something that intoxicates, then no. Is milk chamar medina? Is fruit juice chamar medina? Is soda chamar medina? All of these things are subject to machlokas, because some of these definitions it would fit, and some of these definitions it won't fit. So we're not going to be able to get into some of the details right now. Maybe next week, we'll see. I don't know, maybe we'll do a new topic, or maybe we'll continue with this topic, but I certainly don't want to take away any time from Rabbi Feiner. So everyone should have a wonderful evening, and thank you for coming to learn with me this evening.